What are you doing with what you've been given? That to me is the primary question about life. That to me is what being purpose-driven is all about.
The first Reformation was about belief. This one needs to be about behavior. It's not about creeds, it's about deeds.
So my advice to you is look at what's in your hand, your identity, your influence, your income, and say, it's not about me, it's about making the world a better place.
That, of course, is the now familiar voice of Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church and author of The Purpose-Driven Life. We're going to be talking about Rick Warren and the purpose-driven church movement. It has been expanded, it seems, with Rick's global peace plan to talk about bringing purpose-drivenness not only to the church, but through the church to the whole world. We're going to be discussing that tonight on Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, December the 3rd. Well, it all started as just a book about the Christian life, and now it is a global plan. Rick Warren is out country to country, speaking hither and yon, giving people advice on what it means to be a Christian, calling for a new reformation. We'll hear some of the things tonight that Rick Warren is calling for and get the reaction of our guest, Chris Roseborough, as we talk about the purpose-driven church movement. Our call-in numbers, if you'd like to join us tonight in our conversation, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We'll respond to your phone calls tonight. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University in Irvine, California. He's an instructor at Capo Valley Community Church in California, and author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me back. I'm a little warmer than you are in St. Louis, I think.
Just a little bit. Don't rub it in. Now, you have done a lot of study, and we've talked a lot on Issues Etc. about Rick Warren, about the purpose-driven life movement, purpose-driven church movement, global peace plan. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the upside before we go on to hear some things from Warren himself.
Well, I think Rick Warren, I think it's very clear. First of all, he's a very smart and intelligent man who really has a passion for making a difference in the world. And if he's anything, he's brave and ambitious in tackling some of the world's biggest problems, such as poverty, the AIDS crisis, illiteracy, conquering bad, leadership, despotic leadership, and things like that. You can't fault him for his humanitarian efforts. I mean, I would even say, in his scope, he's up there with like a Mother Teresa as far as what he really wants to tackle and take on.
Well, there is now, kind of set the framework for our whole conversation, there has now become, a famous call for McWarren for a new Reformation. Let's hear what it sounds like.
We need a new Reformation. 500 years later, it's time for another Reformation. But this Reformation will be different. The first Reformation was about belief. This one needs to be about behavior. It's not about creeds, it's about deeds. It's about what does the church do in the world. It's about being the church. You see, we know all the right things. We don't need a reformation of belief, but we do need a reformation where we start acting on what we already know to do. And that's why Jesus said, you will be blessed if you do these things, not if you know them. A lot of us think, well, if I just know the truth, then I'll be blessed. No, if you do the truth, the Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. So we need a reformation of not creeds, but deeds, not belief, but behavior, to be doers of the word. It's not about our message. We know what our message is. It's about our mission. The first Reformation divided the church. We need a new one that unites it.
All right, Chris, what is Warren saying here when he calls for a new Reformation?
Well, Rick Warren is really dead set on uniting the church around his global peace plan and really bringing together a whole group of differing branches of Christianity and creeds. And he really believes that the way to unite the church is to unite them around these good works and by conquering and tackling these global giants, as he says. That's what it's really about. And it has its genesis in the fact that, you know, he talks about the fact that he's trained over 300,000 pastors on how to be purpose-driven. And so what happened is that he saw that these different pastors from all different denominations and walks of Christianity can come and unite in being purpose-driven, and he extrapolated that to the next level and said, we can, you know, if we can unite around tackling these global problems, these global giants, and really have a reformation of behavior where we're out there doing what he calls the mission of the church.
Okay, that's something that concerned me. From what you have been able to glean from your study of Warren and the things he's said and written, what does he believe exactly the mission of the church includes?
Well, it has to do with tackling AIDS, poverty, healing illiteracy. And I think in order for people to kind of get where Rick Warren is coming from, you have to understand something of his doctrine and his theology. And if I were to write a book that was critiquing the purpose-driven movement and the way Rick Warren does things, I would actually entitle it Wrongly Dividing the Word of Truth. And what Rick Warren does over and over and over again, he sets up these false dichotomies. You know, several of his dichotomies include deeds, not creeds. It's the message, not the mission. Service versus serve us. And that's, you know, that's another one of his major things. So what happens is he takes these concepts in his mind and he basically separates them as far as the East is from the West and then pits them against each other. The reality is that the scripture teaches that we are to be high in both our creeds and our deeds, and the church is about serving believers who then serve the world, and that the message of the cross is the mission of the church. So what happens is he pits these things against each other, he divides the word of God, and where he mingles, where he shouldn't, is when it comes down to law and gospel. He actually confuses the two there.
Before we go on to discuss that in a little more detail, I had a moment of kind of uncomfortable nostalgia there when I heard deeds, not creeds.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that the mantra of kind of classic mainline liberal theology in the ecumenical movement of about 30 years ago?
That's correct. I think it even has its genesis in like the Unitarian movement. And this is basically a classic throwback to the social gospel and to liberal theology. And the only way you can get there is by literally unbuckling yourself from Scripture. And once you've done that, you are well on your way to completely minimizing the message of the gospel and Christ and sin and our rebellion and our need for a Savior. And instead, it's all about doing these acts of service that somehow make a difference in the world, rather than the work that Christ did for us on our behalf in his righteous life and his death on the cross for our sins. That gets pushed to the wayside, and we become the center, and our efforts and our good works become the thing that's highlighted and touted as the thing the church should be doing.
Well, let's listen to Rick Warren again, because he does talk about what Jesus did on earth. He has a list of five things.
It's the five things Jesus did when he was here on earth. What did Jesus do when he was here on earth? First thing he did is he planted a church. I will build my church. Second thing he did is he equipped leaders. He spent 3 years training these disciples. Third thing he did is he cared for the poor. In fact, in his very first sermon, he says, I'm here to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. And, you know, there's 2,000 verses in the Bible about the poor. He cared about the poor. Fourth, he healed the sick. He cared for the sick. The Bible says he did preaching, teaching, and healing. One-third of his ministry was a health ministry. One-third of his ministry was about healing. He cared about the physical illnesses of people. And then the fifth thing was he taught. He was a teacher. He was an educator. But he did preaching, teaching, and healing. One-third of his ministry was teaching. And particularly he cared about the next generation. And he said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven.
Chris, you got 1 minute. Is there anything missing from Rick's list of five things Jesus did on earth?
Well, let's see. Christ's death for our sins on the cross, his victorious resurrection from the grave. I would say those are two important things that are glaringly missing from his top five list that Jesus did here on earth.
And what's wrong?
Well, what's wrong is that it's as if, you know, we're now supposed to just mimic Jesus and do these things without any regard whatsoever for what Christ has done for us. How on earth can you talk about what Christ did and not talk about his redemption for our sins on the cross. And that quote actually was part of an interview he did at beliefnet.com, which is a smorgasbord spirituality website, and he had a perfect opportunity to share the gospel, and he completely biffed it.
We're talking about Rick Warren and the Purpose-Driven Church Movement with Chris Rosebro. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. is coming to you live on this Sunday night, December the 3rd. Give us a call. This first break is a great time to call. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. I'm sure many of you disagree with us. We're happy to hear from you, too. 1-800-730-2727. More conversation on Rick Warren and the Purpose-Driven Church Movement with Chris Rosebro right after this. Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching, and why is it so important? Here's Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Now, a lot of times, we miss what God is doing new in the world because we're comfortable with the old ways. And because we're comfortable with the old ways, we don't see that God is a God of newness. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. God loves to do new things in a new way. Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 43, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It's happening already, and you can see it now. Do you see it?
Rick Warren calling for a new thing, one of those new things that he said God is already doing, calling for us to simply look around and figure out what it is God is doing. We're talking about Rick Warren and the Purpose-Driven Church Movement tonight. Well, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, trains pastors. And at a lot of seminaries, pastors will be trained with maybe a Bible and then the latest best-selling book of the local Christian bookstore in their hands. Not so at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They're being trained on the truth of God's Word, the Word made flesh. They're training Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can call them toll-free, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or just look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Chris, before we go on to the next audio that we have to hear from Rick Warren, you were perturbed that of the five things that Jesus did on earth, Rick mentioned founding a church, training disciples, caring for the poor, healing the sick, teaching, but not Christ's redemptive work at the cross. And again, I want to ask for the person who says, come on, don't Christians already know this? What's the problem with that omission?
First of all, I'm a student of theology across the centuries and the millennia, and I cannot recall any Orthodox pastor, teacher, or theologian in discussing Christ's life on earth somehow omitting the big one. The big one is what it's all about. It's what the church is here for. That's his death for our sins on the cross. That is the center and pillar of all of Christian doctrine. It's the justification that matters. In fact, that's what Luther says is the doctrine by which, you know, the Christian church stands or falls. If you don't understand ultimately what Christ was here for, notice that when he was feeding the 5,000 or he cared for the sick and the poor, Jesus didn't say it's finished. He said it's finished when he just right seconds before he died on the cross for our sins. He accomplished the mission at that point. That is the pinnacle and center of everything, and you don't take it for granted. Christian pastors are never, ever supposed to have the luxury of saying, well, I taught about Jesus' death and resurrection about 3 years ago, and if you didn't hear it, go check out the podcast on my website, because, you know, that, I mean, that we already covered it. You know, if you missed it, just go back and check the archives. No, that's supposed to be the center and substance of every one of our sermons, every one of our Sunday school lessons. And if it's not, then what on earth, you know, makes you distinctly Christian if you're not preaching that?
Okay, Warren has talked about being purpose-driven and about the global peace plan, mm-hmm. not only to Christian groups, but also to groups of unbelievers. He's in great demand, in fact, as just a general speaker on purpose-drivenness.
Yep.
He recently made what's called a TED Talk to a group of unbelievers, where he said that the bottom line is God smiles when you are you, and he talked about what being purpose-driven is all about.
What are you doing with what you've been given? That, to me, is the primary question about life. That, to me, is what being purpose-driven is all about. In the book, I talk about how you're wired to do certain things. You're shaped with little acrostic: spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experiences. These things shape you. And if you want to know what you ought to be doing with your life, you need to look at your shape. What am I wired to do? Why would God wire you to do something and then have you do it? If you're wired to be an anthropologist, you'd be an anthropologist. If you're wired to be an undersea explorer, you'd be an undersea explorer. If you're wired to make deals, you make deals. If you're wired to paint, you paint. Did you know that God smiles when you be you? Some people have the misguided idea that God only gets excited when you're doing, quote, spiritual things, like going to church or helping the poor or, you know, confessing or doing something like that. The bottom line is God gets pleasure watching you be you. Why? He made you. And when you do what you were made to do, he goes, that's my boy. That's my girl. You're using the talent and the ability that I gave you. So my advice to you is look at what's in your hand, your identity, your influence, your income, and say, it's not about me. It's about making the world a better place.
Chris, I want your reaction. What's wrong with making a statement like this to a group of unbelievers?
It is literally comforting them with a message that is other than the gospel. Okay, let's just get this right out, okay? That is that if you do not trust in Christ for your salvation, if you do not believe that he is God's son, that his death covers all of your sin, and that you are completely dependent upon him and his righteousness for your salvation, then you are not a Christian. And Scripture says this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't say without faith, it's difficult to please God. Or without faith, it's challenging to please God. It says it's impossible. So when you, as a Christian pastor, are speaking to a group of non-believers and telling them, God smiles when you be you, and or something like to the, or what he just said, and when you do what you were made to do, God says, that's my boy, that is not true. Scripture makes it clear, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You are literally making these people feel like they're at peace with God when they're doing what they were made for. If they're a basketball player, they're playing basketball. If they're an anthropologist, they're doing anthropology. God sits back and goes, that's my boy, that's my boy. That's a lie. That is not true at all. And he's comforting them with a message other than the gospel. What I found interesting about that particular TED Talk is I listened very carefully to the audio, kind of picked it apart myself, and he mentions Jesus only twice in the TED Talk. One time he mentions it, you know, in passing, not even really positively. He was talking about kind of a crazy woman who held up a blank piece of paper to him and says, what do you see in this paper? And he says, well, I don't see anything. And she says, well, I see Jesus. And she walks off and cries. The only other time he mentions Jesus is he says that I believe that Jesus is who he said he was. Those are the only times he mentions them. And then mostly the rest of the talk he's talking about the purpose-driven book, its success, and then he's leaving them with this great inspiring message that when you do what you were made to do, God is thrilled with you. That is not a responsible message for any Christian pastor to tell somebody who is not a Christian. You know, that's heresy. It's comforting these people and not telling them about their sins, not telling them about their need for a Savior, and making them feel like, hey, God's okay with me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Folks, I want to hear from you on Rick Warren, the Purpose-Driven Church Movement. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. Do you agree with our assessment so far or disagree? 1-800-730-2727. Chris Roseborough is our guest as we talk about Rick Warren and the Purpose-Driven Church Movement tonight on Issues Etc. Chris received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University in Irvine, California. He's an instructor at Capel Valley Community Church in California and author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com. When we come back, Chris was recently at an outreach event for a Saddleback Satellite Church in Southern California. He'll tell us what he saw there, and in particular, a conversation that he had with one of the leaders of this satellite church. Rick Warren makes much of the dichotomy between doctrine and behavior, between deeds and creeds. Well, in actual practice, how does a purpose-driven church, a Saddleback satellite, put that dichotomy into action? If doctrine gets in the way of the mission sometimes, if creeds sometimes get in the way of deeds, how does that work on the ground? We'll find out when we come back.
Larry Rast, Arthur Just, Carl Fakencher, Kurt Marquardt, Peter Scare, Cameron McKenzie.
You probably recognize these names as regular guests on Issues Etc., but what else do they have in common? Well, they're all members of the Christ-centered, cross-focused faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Dean Wenthe, Walter A. Meyer II, David Scare, Dan Gard, Charles Geeshan, Bill Weinrich.
Have you ever considered the pastoral ministry? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call them 1-800-481-2155. Preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
John Pless, Hal Senkbeil, Richard Muller, Roland Ziegler.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and his saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-9360. 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
What is the primary message and major theme of God's Word? The answer comes from Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
The storyline of the Bible from beginning to end is the story of God's plan of salvation. The message of that which the holiness and righteousness of the just God demands, and the way that God has, in His grace, in His undeserved love, met the demands of that law in the person of His Son. Certainly everything else that's in Scripture is important, but everything else ties into and relates to and must be seen from the perspective of that basic primary theme, law and gospel, with the gospel as the fundamental focus of it all.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Syria is a place that has had Muslims and Christians living together for 1,400 years. So it's a lot more peaceful, honestly, than a lot of other places, because Christians were here first. In fact, you know, Saul of Tarsus, Saul was a Syrian. And St. Paul, on his road to Damascus, had his conversion experience. And so Christians have been here the longest, and they get along with the Muslims, and the Muslims get along with them. And there's a lot less tension than in other places. It's a moderate country. And the official government role and position is to not allow any extremism of any kind.
That's Rick Warren speaking recently in Syria. He was making a tour through several countries as part of a promotion for his global peace plan. We're talking about Rick Warren, the Purpose-Driven Church Movement, tonight on Issues Etc. with Chris Rosebro. Children, we were talking before the break about who needs to hear the gospel. Christians need to hear the gospel, and unbelievers need to hear the gospel in equal measure, the message of Jesus Christ, who lived and suffered and died and rose again for sinners. Children need to hear it too. Well, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ does a great job of bringing Christ to these children each and every Sunday through each and every lesson. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. It's called Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040. You can look for the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's Christ-centered, cross-focused, and it's the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, Growing in Christ. Chris, you started out talking in our conversation about what you called the false dichotomies upon which Rick Warren builds so much of his rhetoric.
Yeah.
Mission versus message, creeds versus deeds.
Mm-hmm.
You recently visited an outreach event for a Saddleback Satellite in Southern California. Tell
yep.
us about what you saw and heard there.
Gladly. This was at the tail end of the summer. Saddleback Church of San Clemente, which is kind of the first Saddleback Satellite or Saddleback franchise to get started. You know, it's a spinoff of their church. And how Rick Warren, by the way, is the head pastor of Saddleback San Clemente, and he preaches to them via Jumbotron. His messages are piped in. You know, so you get to see Rick Warren on the big screen. At the end of the summer, they held a big circus-like spectacle called Endless Summerfest, you know, as an outreach to the San Clemente community. And what was funny is that the way I heard about this was literally by looking outside of my window and seeing an airplane with a big old banner in tow, you know, talking about Endless Summerfest, and that, you know, the whole public was invited. It was after that I saw posters all over town, literally almost tripped over some of their marketing materials right outside my door. I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm an observer of the purpose-driven movement, and Saddleback's, you know, holding a big event. I better show up. So I showed up pretty much like a member of the media or the press, and I conducted a bunch of interviews, took photographs, and even took the time to basically do a biblical literacy assessment test on the Saddleback volunteers that were there, and had an opportunity to talk to many of their small group leaders who were helping out. And this event was kind of outrageous in its circus-like event. I mean, they had a mortar, you know, jumping team that, you know, they would jump off of this huge ramp and literally get hundreds of feet up in the air and do these big old tricks. You know, I called it Big Air for Jesus. And they were, you know, they had slogans on their motorcycles and stuff. They had a bounce house. They had food. They had a classic car show. They had a U2 tribute band with a singer who looked just spot on like Bono, and they were singing Sunday, Purpose Driven Sunday. It was just a crazy event. And while I was there interviewing people, I had the opportunity to actually interview one of their head ushers and engage him in a conversation that took basically about 20 to 30 minutes. And I wanted to know, you know, what he was so proud about as far as Saddleback Church was concerned. And one of the things he right off the bat led with is that he loves the fact that Saddleback Sunday services are designed to appeal to a wide audience. And so I asked him what makes them so appealing to a wide audience. He says, well, the messages focus on more positive topics and don't make people feel like they're being preached at. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. So I asked a follow-up question. I said, well, does that mean that they're less doctrinal? And he actually was very proud to say, yeah, that was the case. So I then engaged him and, you know, tried to get a little bit of his background, and come to find out that he had been a Christian for 30 years, had been discipled at a church up in Northern California, and talked to him about his, you know, his passion for discipleship. And when I did the biblical literacy survey with him, he actually passed it in flying colors. He was one of the few people that from Saddleback that actually showed a very, very good working knowledge of the scripture. And so I decided to steer him into a more tougher question. And I, you know, I said, you know, hey, let's pretend that I'm an unbeliever and I decide to attend Saddleback Church, and that after attending the church, you know, I make a commitment to become a Christian. And then because of my hectic South Orange County lifestyle, I'm only able to attend Sunday services. I can't go to anything else. The only thing I'm able to go to is Sunday services. And with that in mind, how long would it take me to become a biblically literate disciple of Jesus Christ? And literally, this guy's face, it was like as if I punched him in the nose. He went from kind of being excited to going, oh. And he said, you know, gosh, that would take many, many, many years. You got to understand that our Sunday services are just not designed for discipleship. And at that point, he started really opening up to me and sharing his own personal frustration as one of the lay ministers at the church at the difficulty and effort that he and other lay ministers go through to convince people to get plugged into their 101 classes and to get plugged into small groups, which is the only place you can really be discipled at Saddleback Church. And he then also expressed his concern regarding Rick Warren's constant preaching from the Message paraphrase and how misleading he felt that appeared. And, you know, it just in hearing him talk about this, I couldn't really believe the confession that I was hearing, but it was really revealing that the whole purpose-driven model that Rick has set up literally makes it so that if you only attend Sunday services, you're not really being discipled, and it would take a long, long time for you to become a biblically literate disciple of Jesus Christ.
This is odd because I have watched Rick Warren for a number of years now and read much of what he said. His critics and his response to his critics, he's pretty open about responding to his critics. He blanches at the suggestion that his message and the message of the purpose-driven church movement is watered down.
Really?
Yeah. He adamantly insists that accusation is not true. It is not a watered-down message. So how do you reconcile these things?
Well, I've listened to many of Saddleback's sermons online. I have access into their account, and I go in and I listen to many of their sermons. And over and over and over again, it's usually a 5 or 6 point sermon. When verses are used, they're usually ripped out of context and are discussing biblical principles, on how to make yourself happier, be successful in your career. It's more of a self-help type sermon. And so from my own experience in listening to tens of hundreds of Saddleback sermons is that there is no real meat to these things, and I agree with the head usher that I discussed, that I had my conversation with, they're not designed for discipleship. They're designed to be more positive and have a wider appeal and not make people feel like they're being preached at.
Well, what's the problem with using the Bible that way, pulling passages out, mining them for biblical principles and preaching those things? What's the basic problem?
The basic problem there is you have to be careful with Scripture when you're doing your hermeneutics or your exegesis, because Scripture, really, each passage only has one true meaning. And so what you don't want to do is take passages out of context and then string them together to make Scripture say something that it doesn't say. A simple example of this is the person who is looking for a message from God. And so they pray, "Oh God, I need a message from you. Would you please speak to me?" And so they take their Bible and they, randomly flip to any page and put their finger down, and it says, "Judas went and hung himself." And they go, "Well, that's kind of an interesting message." And so they flip their Bible again and put their finger down, and it says, "Go thou and do likewise." And so what happens is when you rip Scriptures out of context and you string them together for some type of principles, what you're doing is that you've created an outline of what you believe the truth is and the message that you want to get across, and then you force Scripture to support your points. The proper way to read Scripture and to teach it is to actually let the text breathe. Speak the words in context. Get behind what it is the author is trying to communicate to you and the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate, and let it speak. And in those cases, what happens is that God's Word is telling you what the message is, instead of you have a message that you want the Scriptures to support. And He's constantly doing it the other way around.
All right, we'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss the truth behind ghosts, mediums, and psychic phenomenon with Ron Rhodes of Reading from the Scriptures Ministries. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of December, check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to find out about our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You can find out how to become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or our new level patron. Reformation Club benefits include tapes, books, and transcripts. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at our homepage, issuesetc.org. And everyone who joins the Issues Etc. Reformation Club between now and the end of the year will receive the new I Have Issues t-shirt. Check out the I Have Issues t-shirt at our website, issuesetc.org, and help us reach our goal of 300 Reformation Club members by the end of the year. I want your thoughts on Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life, The Purpose-Driven Church. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, December the 3rd, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We'll have more with Chris Roseborough and the Purpose-Driven Church Movement after this. Dr. Dean Wenthe, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the important work of Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief.
It has done a remarkable job of joining acts of mercy to the center of Christian theology, namely Christ and his saving work for us. There, in the past, has been a tendency to do one or the other, that is, on the one hand, to proclaim the gospel and neglect the very real human needs, or the opposite extreme has been to tend to human needs but not to bring the saving gospel of Christ to bear. And Pastor Harrison and his staff share with us the conviction that these two go hand in hand.
Find LCMS World Relief at our website, issuesetc.org, or call 1-888-930-4438.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
It's unselfish people to grow a congregation. What I mean by that is they must be willing to give up some of the benefits that they have of a small congregation in order for the purpose of ministering to more people. And that takes a quite maturity. See, there's this constant tension in your synagogue or your church between what I call service and serve us. Service or serve us. And you have to decide, does the congregation exist for service or does it exist to serve us?
That's Rick Warren making another one of those dichotomies for which he is now famous, between service and serve us. We'll talk about that in just a moment with Chris Roseborough as we discuss the purpose-driven church movement. You know, you can't fault Rick Warren for being concerned about the AIDS crisis, the poor, the sick, those in need. LCMS World Relief is concerned with both body and soul. It does not see or drive a wedge between the message of the cross and concern for those in need. It's a relief agency concerned with both body and soul. For more information about LCMS World Relief, just look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate to them by calling them 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438, LCMS World Relief. Chris, just a moment ago, we heard this, as you said, one of these dichotomies laid out by Rick Warren and his purpose-driven church movement between service and serve us. What is he trying to say there?
Well, it goes back to his punchline. You have to decide whether the congregation is, you know, if its purpose is to, you know, for them to be served, or if their purpose is to serve the world. That's kind of his dichotomy that he sets up. And so he, you know, let me actually read to you a slightly expanded quote here, and I'm going to point out a couple of things along the way, and we'll go from there. This is actually taken from the Purpose-Driven Church book, and here's what it says on page 248 and 249. It takes unselfish, mature believers to offer a seeker-sensitive service. In 1 Corinthians 14, 19 through 20, Paul says that when we think only of our own needs in worship, we are being childish and immature. Let me pause for a second. The passage says nothing of the sort. The passage doesn't say anything like that. It's talking about the abuse of tongues, and it doesn't say that when we don't think of others' needs that we're being childish and immature. That's not what the passage says. Let me continue. Members demonstrate incredible spiritual maturity when they are considerate of the needs and fears and hang-ups of unbelievers and are willing to place those needs before their own in a service. In each and every church, there is a constant tension between the concepts of service and serve us. Most churches end up tipping the scales toward meeting members' needs because the members pay the bills. Offering a seeker service means intentionally tipping the scales in the opposite direction toward unbelievers. It requires members who are willing to create a safe environment for unbelievers at the expense of their own preferences, tradition, and comfort. Enormous spiritual maturity is required to voluntarily move out of this comfort zone. Now, I'm going to point something out here.
Well, just a minute. At that point, people are saying, well, He just wants Christians to think about unbelievers. What's the problem?
The issue here is that he's changing the church in order to do it. The church, according to Scripture, and as you know, and our confessions teaches that the church is a body of believers who gather around God's word and receive his sacraments. That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of a pastor is to feed God's sheep. In Rick Warren's purpose-driven movement, he flips it. He now turns the church service into something that is designed specifically to be appealing and relevant and speaking to non-believers. And so, therefore, that's why you have church services where people cannot be discipled. Why? Because the scales have been tipped in favor of unbelievers. And the way he does, you know, the way he does this tipping, he actually goes out and conducts surveys with people he calls unchurched and finds out what they hate about church, and then he does the opposite. And basically, he's put the goats, the unbelievers, those who are not trusting in Christ, in charge of deciding the content, the message, and the feel for what church is. Therefore, the culture is dictating to the church what it should do, rather than the church being salt and light in the world. You can't tip the church in favor of unbelievers. That's ridiculous. In the way the scriptures have it set up is that the believers come to church to be fed the word of God, have their sins forgiven, and be served by the pastor. Then they, with the word of God and the message of the gospel, go out and serve the world. So the pastor serves the world through the congregation by serving them. And the way he has it set up, you go to Saddleback, it's set up that you got to get to work. In fact, the Orange County Register has been doing a 20-part series on Rick Warren Saddleback Church, and they have a little multimedia slideshow about membership. And I thought the first slide was interesting. It says that membership at Saddleback Church is a series of commitments, and that explains that whole service and serve us thing perfectly.
Two quick final questions. Mm-hmm. I've heard that there have recently been some layoffs in the purpose-driven church organization out of Saddleback. What does this mean?
It means that the popularity of the purpose-driven books is coming to an end. Like any fad, it is beginning to wane. It's wax and wane. It's waning. It's going downhill. And you know, and what I think is interesting is that in the Orange County Register, The Saddleback Church is blaming, you know, the decline in sales on a backlash by traditionalists. You know, they're basically victimized by traditional church folk who are just not open-minded and accepting of the purpose-driven movement. But what I think is interesting is that the purpose-driven church movement, you know, promises churches that if they follow their program, that they will experience at least 20% growth in their church. One of their big promises, kind of like an infomercial, is if you follow our methods and do what we, you know, put this program together, you're going to experience growth, and it's practically guaranteed. But what's interesting now is that, that in the process of guaranteeing this growth, they've been making the claim that churches that are not growing are failing. And that, you know, and that growth in a church is a sign that God is blessing your church. Well, that's not really what Scripture says at all. And now that they're experiencing a decline in sales, in fact, they had to lay off a third of their staff, fire the CEO, and take the purpose-driven network company and actually put it back under Saddleback as a means of saving costs, my question is that how on earth now can we trust that you're capable of producing the growth that you claim you can when you're not even able to sustain your own growth?
All right, then with only 30 seconds, what is, in your mind, the glaring weakness of Rick Warren, his theology as outlined in The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life? 30 seconds.
The whole thing comes down to a complete misunderstanding of law and gospel and what it is that God has put us on earth for, what the church is about, and really what the message of the gospel is. It's something completely other. He says it's not about you, it's about God. No, it's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about Christ and what he has done for us. And he's got it completely focusing on the wrong thing.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of the Next Issues Etc. Journal, or you can also use that number to join our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Our goal is to have 300 Reformation Club members by the end of this year, and as a way of saying thanks to our new members or renewing members, we're going to send you the new I Have Issues t-shirt, 1-800-737-0172. You can also write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Does the church or an individual Christian have to choose between the message or the mission? Does the church or an individual Christian have to choose between creeds or deeds? If you listen long enough to Rick Warren, read his books, and if you buy into the purpose-driven church movement, the answer to both those questions is yes, you have to choose. If you really want to reach the unreached, you can't have those creeds hanging around too long. And the message, you can't worry about the message. You got to get about the mission. Well, the message is the mission. That's pretty clear from what Jesus sent his disciples and his church to do. He sent them, in his own words, to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. The only message that Christ left with the church that he built, that he founded, and that, by the way, he continues to build, not through our methods and ingenuity or our movements, but purely through that message he left with his church, is the message of him, the one who came, took on human flesh to bear our sins in suffering and death at the cross, to give his life as the ransom for many, for all sinners, and to rise again from the dead after 3 days. That's the only message the church has that is unique from any other institution, and that's the only message Christ has given to us, and it is the mission. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the Worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.